Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from the Message Trust. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing, check out our website, message.org.uk.
It's so good to be here. Just to introduce myself, my name's Tim, for those that don't know me. I'm married to my beautiful wife, Becky, and we have three boys, Woody, Asher and Rocco. And I worked in here, as Andy said, as part of the prisons team, which was such a privilege before moving out to move to Ibiza. But this is a real spiritual home for me, and it might sound a bit weird, but it's such an honour to be back here and to just update with some stories of how things have been in Ibiza. I thank God for my time here at The Message. It was such a time for growth for me as I stepped out in faith, as I caught this gift of the evangelist, which you can't help but catch here, as I grew in prayer. And I just want to honour Andy and Sam and Ian as well for the culture that they've created in this place. It really is a touch of heaven as you walk in here. It's a place where prayer and mission flow. And it's a real resistance against the darkness. It's a place of light and a weapon in God's hand. So I just want to honour that. Today I'm just going to share some stories from the streets, talk about a little bit about hospitality as well, which has been really key. Chatting to Sam Ward before we went, and he said hospitality is a key. It's a priority to welcome people into your home and, you know, welcome yourself into other people's homes. and that's been a real key for us, so I just want to unpack that a little bit. It's been a real value of us as a church plant. So Ibiza, Becky and I have a long-standing history of going out to Ibiza. In 1998, the Daily Mail described it as a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah. And in response to that, an organisation called 24/7 Prayer was invited to come and pray for the island. Little did people know then that it would grow into a ministry, and grow into people just catching a heart for the island and moving there. So volunteers work through the summer season. They seek to share the love of Jesus to people in practical ways through prayer, through sharing Jesus, helping messy and vulnerable people. As a team, we're sharing Jesus with the tourists, the drug dealers, the local police and the prostitutes. And Becky and I have been involved in short and long-term mission trips for 10 years. And the last few years, we've just felt a stirring. What would it be like to have an all-year-round worshipping community there to plant a church? And it's always been the vision, but it's been difficult to grow because the summer work takes such resource and manpower and energy. So a few people over the last 12 to 18 months have moved out to help plant a church there. 12 months ago, there were a handful of people meeting, and now there's between 20 and 40 adults that meet on a Sunday morning, which is really encouraging. There's 20 kids, if not more, to be honest. The kids' stuff has really grown. There's Irish people, there's English people, there's Dutch people, there's local Spanish people. We do a bilingual service, which is interesting, as you can imagine. There's a Sunday night service as well that the team in the West End on the Strip have. And that is aimed solely for the working girls, for the drug dealers, and for the bar and the club workers. I've got a little video of church stuff, which we're just going to play. It's just 30 seconds long. So that was my bald head at the start, which you might not have seen, but I've just highlighted the fact. but that also was the side of our house. So when we moved out there, we got a house, and I viewed it at night time. It was all a bit of a rush. But I didn't realise that it had this side building on, and little did I know that that would be where we would meet as church, which is really encouraging. So we meet on a Sunday morning. It's hot, there's fans, there's a lot of sweating, and it's interesting. But we've had new birth, you know, new believers come to know Jesus. We've had prodigals returning back to Jesus. We baptized three people recently, which wasn't on that. There's a guy, JJ, that was baptized as a child and wanted to get baptized as an adult. There's a lady who became a Christian through some of the mums who got baptized, and a daughter of one of the mums as well. We did an alpha earlier on in the year, which was a lot of work, you know, in two languages, English and Spanish. None of the material is bilingual. But two people made a decision to follow Jesus, which was so encouraging. And a guy called Chris also came along, who is like a massive, tall, wide, long kind of guy. And he's seen the highs and the lows of Ibiza life. people say he could write a book about what he's seen, but he says he doesn't want to because, you know, he would have to think about some horrible things. But he knows some of the mafia. He knows many of the local drug dealers that he lives near. He lives in a small room with no natural light, and rent costs a fortune, so people really struggle. He's unemployed, and he had a difficult upbringing with no father figure. So he's struggling to receive and accept the love of Christ, really, because of that. But he's getting to know Jesus from a distance. Over the last 6 months, he's come really close to Jesus, to the point where he went to like this prayer and worship event a couple of weeks ago, and he encountered the Holy Spirit in a big way. He was laughing uncontrollably for about 20 minutes, completely overwhelmed with God's presence. He's a logical thinker, so he couldn't understand it. He couldn't work it out. He was, you know, spending hours thinking about it and writing it down. But he just is with no doubt that there is a God after encountering him in that way. And he recently said, if I'm coming to Jesus, I'm bringing all my friends with me. He was like, but I'm not going to let them bring drugs into the church, which is exciting. So... following on from Alpha, we started a Bible study, and one session we were looking about repentance, and Chris, this guy, was outraged that the father would respond like that to the son with such compassion and love. He was like, you know, he deserved the door slammed in his face. But by the end of the night, God had changed his heart. He recognized a girl in the group who he'd known from a beach party 5 years ago. She was making advancements on him then, and she was in a bit of a mess. But he couldn't recognize her then. He only recognized her at the end. She was different. She was sharing a testimony of how she'd met Jesus and was following him now. He walked out saying, now I know what repentance is. I've seen it with my eyes. This lady you recognize is Claire. She lives next to where we did the baptisms. She saw us barbecuing on the beach. She came down to tell us that it was illegal and we'd get a fine for 3,000 euros if we barbecued. We did think, should we just pay the fine? But we decided not to. She stayed with us for the day anyway and was just really welcomed by people in the church. She came along to the gathering the next week and she gave her life to Jesus. She came with a daughter, so it was so exciting. And as a community, we want to demonstrate God's love in our actions, but also in our words. And there's been a couple of people that I've connected with. I'll just share one person, a guy called Frank, who we're just loving as a family. He gave up drugs and alcohol in January after a long history of just summer after summer of cocaine and women and this, that and the other. He's anxious. His life has just kind of hit rock bottom. And he continues just to have problems with his anxiety, his eyes. He feels low and he needs to be loved. He's confused about what he believes. There's all kinds of new age stuff going on out in Ibiza. But he's been welcomed by the church. He's a bit mixed up about Jesus and other beliefs. We've been able to love him. We've been able to explain the gospel clearly to him and share that in real practical ways as well. He doesn't have many friends as they're, you know, drug users, but he's fun and he's kind-hearted. He's a soft guy. He's warm with our kids. He teaches us about hospitality. He comes and hangs out with us in the park with the kids, and he comes around for meals and watch football. We were able to get him along to the GP. He started some medication to help him feel a bit better, and he started going to an NA meeting. So just one guy that we've just been journeying with. He's not accepted Jesus, but he knows the gospel, and he's on a journey, and it's just great to walk with him. But with him, there's just been such an opening to be able to share Jesus, and that's what we're trying to foster just in our relationships with people. Next. So... a kids' work I mentioned earlier. We have about 20 kids that come along on a Sunday, and it's just really exploded. We haven't really expected that would happen and grow quickly. We use this from a model that Bill Wilson uses in New York, just with his kids' ministry. It's like a boys versus girls thing, going from prisons to kids' work. It's like it's interesting, but it's high energy. It's competitive. We do lots of games. We have prizes. We have a show. Talk and an object lesson, but we've got a competition which you'll like, which is called Bring a Friend, Win a Fiver. Andy, you'll like this. If you bring a friend, you win a you get to play the competition and potentially win a fiver. But one girl, they obviously want to play it because they get to win a fiver. One girl bought a friend from school and they played. And anyway, a friend came out and just said how much fun she'd had. And at the end, she even got prayed for, which was so encouraging. She comes back and she brings a mum and a grandmother as well, which is really exciting. Another thing, we do a discipleship group on a Tuesday night, which flowed out of the Alpha course. Some guys wanted to continue the journey they're on and wanted to read the Bible together. So they asked us if they could do that. And we said, yeah, of course. so we meet at our house, and Becky and I lead it. But it's in Spanish, which is hilarious because my Spanish is absolutely bad. Becky's is better than mine. But somehow it works. Someone translates and we manage to get through it. We look at, you know, some simple gospel stories and it really works. We use this three-thirds format where we look back, we look up and we look forward. We read the word and we ask some simple questions. And we have a vision to start training people that come along in how to share faith and into how to equip them to reach out to their friends as well. And there's a local prison on the island, which is really exciting. And some of the team go into the prison to be a friendly face, to love people, to have some normal conversations, look to share Jesus, and just help people live, on release as well when people get out. There's a Spanish charity called Caritas. So we go into prison under that name and reputation, which is really, really cool. Another thing is, we're looking to train people as well. When there's opportunity to train people in making disciples and sharing the gospel, we're really taking those opportunities. The team that we're with, I was able to just share a few, train a few of them in those things when we first got there. And also, we've got some good connections with an English-speaking Anglican church on the island. So I got the opportunity to train 20 people from that church, which was really, really encouraging. It went down well. So a couple of us put that training into practice and just decided to go out on the streets one afternoon. And we met a guy called Massimo. He's an Italian pianist and he plays in a resort nearby. We met him outside a church. He had a big Italian Bible that he was taking into the church to get blessed. And we got chatting to him. We wanted to pray, obviously. So we asked him that, and he just began to share some dark experiences he'd had, you know, growing up. Some pretty evil things that had happened. Recently, a family member had committed suicide as well. And he just opened up to us. So we were able to just share and speak into his life. And we were able to share the gospel. Jonathan, who had just done the training, shared with him. And he was so encouraged that when we said, like, you know, where are you at? He was like, I'm in brokenness. Where do you want to be? Yeah, I want to be in God's design. And we were like, is there anything stopping you coming today to Jesus? And he was like, no, there's nothing. So we just led him through a prayer, and he came to Jesus like on the streets, which was such a breakthrough for us and exciting. We've been meeting to disciple him just weekly after that. He's only in Ibiza for 3 months, and I think he goes actually while I'm in England. So it's been sad to see that and see him move on. But as you invest in someone and in some, you know, a seed of God's kingdom, like you trust it to God, don't you? And it goes somewhere else and God does something with it and it grows. It's exciting. So just to talk a little bit about the mission work in San Antonio, the summer stuff that we do. It's been happening for 15 years in some form, and there's just a little video for a couple of minutes that we're going to share. So we start at night at 11:30, and we're out till about 4:30 at night. There's a rhythm of an hour in the prayer room and an hour on the streets, and it works as we breathe God in and then breathe him out on the streets. We look to bless people and pray for people and look for opportunities to share Jesus with people. If people are in a mess, as you could see, we help people get back safely back to their hotel or to the medical center. We have a van, affectionately named the Vomit Van, which is on its last legs. We use it to drive people to get back to their accommodation, hence the name Vomit Van, because there's lots of vomit that ends up in there. But yeah, it's a really useful tool as we just look to love people as Jesus would. But the reality is, it's life or death for some people as they come to Ibiza on holiday. And that sounds a bit dramatic. Last week, the team took a 22-year-old guy to the medical center. He'd taken some pills, as thousands of people do. Probably didn't know, well, definitely didn't know that would be his last night alive when he took them. While he was treated in the center, he went into cardiac arrest and he passed away. It's life or death for people, which is crazy. It's had a massive effect on the team that were working with him. So just pray for them and for us as we deal with that trauma of being close to someone that's passed away like that. But in some ways, it's no different to a Friday or Saturday night here in Manchester. The only thing is it's 7 nights a week all through the summer, and it's condensed into small pockets. Every time we're out and about walking on the streets or on the beaches, you're offered drugs. It's just so in your face. There's Senegalese men that sell drugs on the streets. It's well coordinated as they do that. You know, there's many, many people selling. But it makes, every time I see them, it makes me think about the kingdom of God. You know, if darkness is being so aggressive and pushing itself on people, Jesus needs to be in the mix of that. Jesus' name needs to be shared on the streets alongside the drugs and alongside the sex. And I feel so stirred that he needs to be there alongside those drug dealers, those prostitutes, demonstrating God's kingdom. We chat to these guys and they're just normal people. They've got kids at home in Senegal. They've got family. They've got wives. They're sending their money back. You know, they're just trying to make it work in life. But we come to the end of our third month of our summer work, and God has moved in powerful ways through daytime stuff and nighttime activities. We've had the privilege to pray for over 300 people for things like prayer, thanksgiving, petition, introducing people to Jesus for the first time and chatting with others to encourage them to reconnect. Volunteers have cleaned up vomit, brought the vulnerable back to a place of safety, shared testimonies, chatted about stories found in the Bibles. We've given out Bibles. We've listened to people's hardship and difficulties. And we've listened to the Holy Spirit where he wants us to go. Night after night, we've been reminded of the power and partnership between prayer and mission, which sums up this place, doesn't it? As we work on an hourly rotation of just breathing God in and breathing him out. We've seen fights ceased with the utterance of the words, "Prince of Peace, come." Words of knowledge detailing mobile phone PIN codes and hotel names. There's been increased police presence, and there's been unity as friends have decided to stick together and help each other out and have a safe holiday. We serve a God who cares and loves for all his children. We're so thankful that we get to share him in the West End. So we just thank everyone that supports us as we do that. And there's also a vision to start something in Playa del Bosa, which is another town, maybe like 15 miles away. It's San Antonio is 18 to 30s, Brits abroad vibe, whereas Playa del Bosa is more international. It's more glamorous. It's more cocaine and champagne. There's more expensive clubs, more expensive everything, basically. There's more money about. So as a team, we're exploring and praying, what could it look like to start something there? And we're sensing God in it. We sense it'd be something different, but that people will rise up and seek to love that place and seek to serve it. God's doing amazing things, but as you can imagine, it's been hard. Like Andy said, moving to a different country, it's not easy to uproot. There's been difficulties, there's been frustrations, and we've had real frustrations with people that have weighed us down. They've stolen our peace. They've given the enemy a foothold in our lives at times. You know, we felt lonely. We've missed our friends and family. It's been hard navigating new relationships, as we all know it is. We're part of a team that is still new. And teams go through that forming, storming, norming, and then performing, don't they? I think I learned that from Tim Mycock. I think we're probably still in the storming phase. But Richard Branson said, if you want to go quickly, go on your own. If you want to go far, take people with you. So although it's hard growing together as a team, we know it's important for the long game. To stick together, to grow together, to pray together. So it's exciting to see the team grow. Another really exciting part of what we do is Becky's part of some of the girls go out into the brothels and into the strip clubs, and they work alongside the sex workers on the streets. And their aim is just to simply share the love of Christ with these girls in different ways. They provide breakfast once a week for them. They give out brownies. They pray for the girls. They love them. They've taken gift hampers around to new strip clubs and new brothels that have opened up this season. And they visit them each week and offer to pray and build relationship with them. We work with an anti-trafficking organization as well to help us in this. But there's a lady that the team have got to know for a number of years called Glory. And she worked in Ibiza for a number of summers, so the team knew her well. Often girls would work in the summer in Ibiza and then another city in the winter in Spain. But she came and she said, my debt has been paid. I'm free to go. She came to the centre and sent that. The team obviously were suspicious. It's never been heard of that that's happened before, that someone would be free to go. So she got in touch this summer and she said that she's in mainland Spain and she's just done a waitressing course. She's got a job interview coming up and we were able to get her in touch with an organisation there that could support her further. But there's something that many of the African ladies have taken kind of as they come out to do this line of work. It's called a juju vow that African ladies take. It's a curse that kind of binds them to the work that they do. They have a debt, but they're also under a curse. And should they break away from the work, the curse is on them and their family, so it keeps them bound into it. And we heard on the news recently that a high juju priest in Nigeria has basically said these vows are void, they're abolished, and they don't have any weight anymore, which was massive news to hear. It's encouraging that as we pray, things happen. I'm just aware of the time. There's maybe like 5 minutes. So I'll just quickly touch on a few scriptures about hospitality, which has been such a key thing. Three scriptures. Practice hospitality. Oh, we've got something going on in the background. We've got practice hospitality. It says, where's the scripture? Here we go. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Then 1 Peter 4:9 says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Hebrews 13:2 says, do not forget to show hospitality to the strangers. Then for by doing so, people have entertained angels without knowing it. You know what? We need to practice it. It's like a sport or an exercise. We need to practice, practice, practice if we want to grow in it. Keep pursuing it. Keep moving towards it. Do it without grumbling. That sometimes needs to be a miracle done in our lives, doesn't it? Because we can so easily grumble. I can anyway. But it also says, do not forget it. You know, it's like gravity. We forget gravity's there. It's always there, but we don't think about it. But we have a psychological gravity that pulls everything into the center of our lives. And we need to break out of that self-centered thinking and our selfish routines often. You know, hospitality is Christ-centered and not self-centered. I'll just skip some of this stuff, but I just felt quite challenged that we lived isolated lives at times, you know, allowing others in when it suited us. But the early church met together. They were daily people. Acts 2, they were daily in each other's house. How do we work towards that? It's a challenge and we need to ask ourselves that question. Entertainment can often throw a spanner in the works because we think that's hospitality. You know, entertainment holds guests at arm's length and presents a kind of false view of ourselves, a nice dinner party, you know, nicely made up food. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's not true hospitality. Biblical hospitality puts the person coming into your house as the person to bless, not to impress. And the difference between true hospitality and entertaining is just where the attention is focused. And it's a heart issue. It's a heart thing. Hospitality opens wide the invitation. You know, the stranger in the Old Testament, the stranger was often welcomed. But it's difficult because it pushes hard against our desire for safety and privacy. But if we're able to put these things aside, God can really use hospitality to extend his kingdom. And he wants to do that. Jesus came to serve. Luke 22:27, for who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? But I am among you as one who serves. Jesus came to serve. And then 2 Philippians 3:7 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. You know, pride can get in the way, so we need to ask God to remove that from us and give us and awaken Christ's humility in us. So hospitality isn't just to draw to a close. Hospitality isn't entertaining people, a neat and orderly house. It's not seeking to impress people, but hospitality is inviting the poor, the lame, the blind, the stranger, throwing wide the doors, expects nothing in return. It's conversation and time over a perfect meal. Obstacles can be our fear. I've got nothing to say. I don't know how to talk to people. have nothing to offer. It can even be our houses, you know, as we have them as safe place, or our boundaries can even be idols. But we need to give God them. You know, he knows that it's difficult for us, but he can help us overcome. You know, if you're terrified by the concept of practicing a hospitality, I just say to finish, go and look at someone who's already doing it and learn from them. It's been such a key for us as we've, you know, stepped out with church this year. God has shown us undeserved hospitality in his own son, Jesus. He sacrificed all so that we could be welcomed in as a stranger into his family, as a son or a daughter. And that's the love that will drive us to offer hospitality to those around us.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support or even get involved with one of our teams.